The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Dearly beloved, be prudent and watch in prayers, but before all things have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins, using hospitality one towards another without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the power which God administereth, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. At that time Jesus saith to his disciples, When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me. And you shall give testimony because you are with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the hour cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God. And these things will they do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you shall remember that I told you. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we are at a transition time in which our Lord has ascended. We celebrated the Feast of the Ascension on Thursday. And, of course, Pentecost comes then a week from today. So it's not, of course, we're not ready to celebrate the time of Pentecost, and yet we also see that our Lord has now ascended to heaven. It's a time of joy in a certain way, but also in a certain sense of loss the apostles experience at this point in time. It's interesting to see what the apostles do at this time, and it's also a lesson for us in our lives as well, especially with us being motivated by a spirit of what you might term activism. The apostles during this time before Pentecost they spend the time in the upper room in prayer, in reflection, in consideration of what it is that God wants them to do. And of course, they're central, as you see in many pictures too, on when they celebrate Pentecost, is the Blessed Virgin Mary, who's there with them. So they're going about their first retreat in a certain way, time of retreat, time of reflection, time of prayer. And it reminds us that of our need to pray, of our need to have a spiritual life, of focusing our attention on the important things, the things of God. You know, in the epistle, St. Peter admonishes us to have a spirit of charity one towards another. Of course, charity having that virtue which is focuses God. The focus of Him first is a theological virtue, having God as its immediate object. It's also interesting that when we meditate upon the glorious mysteries of the Rosary, the fruit of the mystery of the second glorious mystery, that of the Ascension, is the virtue of hope. Hope. Hope, again, which has as immediate object that of God. You know, it's interesting what people think about these virtues and how they sometimes turn them around, they get them mixed up. As I say, the virtues of faith, hope, and charity have their immediate object is God. It doesn't have to do with us. It has to do with the God Himself. God who is the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sanctifier. Sometimes we get that mixed up and we start thinking that somehow it revolves around us. No. We have this terrible idea of everything always revolving around ourselves. We forget about the fact that it revolves around God. Poor human beings we are. However, if we think that it somehow revolves around us, sooner or later we're going to become rather disillusioned because we don't measure up. We have certain human frailties, certain human weaknesses, and they, at one point in time or another, will come to us and will be, of course, concerned about the fact that we're not measuring up. And so we might be tempted to despair. But that's because we have it wrong. We somehow look at ourselves and see if we measure up, and we fail to remember that the virtue of hope, the virtue of charity, the virtue of faith has to do with God. It is not about us, it's about God, and of course we know that God is always faithful. God is always faithful. God will give us the means. God will never fail. No. It's interesting, even politicians talk about these virtues in a strange way, kind of perverted. If you remember, there's some politicians recently who tried to base their campaign on hope and change. I won't say who it was, but you can probably think of it who it is. Hope is a virtue that's based on God. And it's not based on men at all. And we have to remember that. We have to remember that God is always going to provide us those needs, to provide the needs that we have. He will provide for us. And he wants us to always to cooperate with those graces that he gives to us. And oh, by the way, God's motto is not hope and change. It's hope and changelessness. Because God does not change. And that certainly gives us hope. So he is immutable. He is pure act. And so during this time, we reflect upon God. We reflect upon the wonder of God, the greatness of God. And it does get and generate in us a certain hope, certainly, because we know that God is always faithful, that we need to turn to him in all of our needs, that we have to make him the center of our lives, center of our spiritual lives. And that when we go about our daily activities, that our daily activities are such that we do what we are supposed to do. We fulfill our duties to do them with a great desire to please God. That's why St. Peter, when he admonishes those who are listening to him, those who are the audience in his epistle, he's talking about the idea, the importance of charity, of having a fraternal charity towards one another, which is based upon a love of God. Again, the idea, the focus is God. The center is God, and that's what we have to remember. And, of course, during this time in which we are here between the time of the Ascension and the time of Pentecost, we need to kind of make a little retreat, be more recollected, think about what it is God wants for us, what he wants us to do, and how he needs to be the center of everything that we do. It's easy to be lost. It's easy to get that wrong, especially in the kind of world which likes to busy itself with all kinds of things in which God is oftentimes forgotten or neglected. And so it is this time of the year in which we need to renew our trust in God, our hope in God. We need to have this great desire in order to please him, to do what God wants, to have this confidence in him. He will not fail us. And it's him that we believe, in him that we believe, and it's in him that we love. And it's for that motive that we know, that we work not for any other motive. So let's try to understand that. Let's try to appreciate that. And of course, this is the message most likely that the Blessed Virgin Mary was giving to the apostles as well. She being the one who was probably the retreat master during this time, master of the spiritual life, instructed the apostles about many things that they probably were very unaware of during that time. And so that when we do have to go out, which we all do, we have to live our lives, we can be like the apostles who will go out to spread the faith. And we spread it by our fidelity, our fidelity to God. And we also spread it by not just what we say, but the kind of lives that we lead. So many times we fail in these regards. We are Catholic. And we have to behave as Catholic. And just being Catholic and acting as a Catholic and doing the things that Catholics should do, not that we are doing it to make a show, that it's really part of us, it sends a message. It sends a message wherever we go. And so we have to do that, but of course it has to be based upon the fundamentals of the Catholic life, and it has to be based on the faith. And so let us ask God to help us. Let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary also to help us, she who was leading that first retreat, that she might also help us, so that we have an understanding of the tenets of our faith, that we have an understanding of the implications that they have in our daily life, so that we live our faith, that we act according to our faith, that we have this great love of God which animates all that we do, so that when we do spend our time out, we can actually merit an increase of God's grace and be faithful to Him, so that we, of course, are faithful disciples of our Lord and can send the message of the gospel to the four corners of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.